and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen. Well, once again, happy Thanksgiving weekend to all of you. We have many things to be thankful for in Canada. We live in a society where we are free to publicly express our own opinions. We've not suffered through a civil war, which can pit most of the population against itself. Our standard of living in Canada is one of the best in the world, and we enjoy the freedom to vote and to vote for a political party of our own choice. We can be very thankful for these things. Many families use this weekend as a form of homecoming to reassemble and celebrate family relationships. As I mentioned to the kids, a tradition in our family has been that on holiday weekends, we share dinner with another family whom we've known for over 40 years, because all of us, when we moved to Calgary, moved at least 1,500 miles away from our families. And during this time, all our children have become best of friends. And now our children are starting to carry on this tradition. Around the dinner table, both our families recall earlier weekends and our outings together and share the many memories that we've had over the years. After the meal, we play board games and share stories, so that this family ritual contains elements of tradition and thanksgiving. Thankfulness and tradition are important elements of our faith. This morning in the Old Testament lesson, we heard of the tradition started by the Hebrew people as a thanksgiving for their blessings. We heard that they were to bring the first fruits of their harvest from the land. They were brought to by God, and they were presented to a priest who set them before the altar of the Lord. And the purpose of this gesture was to remind the Hebrew people of their thankfulness for their deliverance from oppression and slavery in Egypt. Remembrance of the Passover and of their Exodus are critical elements of the Jewish faith. And as part of this ritual, they recite a confession, which recalls their deliverance and their entrance into the Promised Land, a land of milk and honey. So we can see that the Jewish ritual contains elements of remembrance, confession, and thanksgiving. Well, as many of you know, Christianity grew out of Judaism, so that their significant events are part of our story. And they help us to understand God's ongoing interaction with his people. Remembrance, confession, and thanksgiving are not unique to that tradition. And a similar formula can be observed within our Eucharist service. The Creed, which we said, reminds us of the key elements of our Christian faith. Our belief in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We also recall that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Finally, we are thankful that we're forgiven people, resurrection people, and part of a universal church with all the saints. The prayers of consecration we use recall stories of God's revelation of himself to humankind. And the ritual of the Last Supper is a reminder of the sacrifice made by Christ on the cross and our obedience to do this in remembrance of him. And we offer ourselves and our monies as reminders that all we have comes from God. And bread and wine are offered as symbols of Christ's body and blood, his sacrifice for us on the cross. These gifts are then set before the altar to be blessed. And so our Christian ritual this morning contains the elements of remembrance, confession, and thanksgiving. The other readings today remind us that we should be joyful on these occasions. In fact, parts of each of these passages have been used to become familiar praise songs that's used often in our church services. For instance, the psalm says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and enter his gates with thanksgiving in your hearts, and enter his courts with praise. These are familiar refrains that used in praise songs. As we heard Cyril tell us in Philippians, we are told, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And also in there it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. That rejoice in the Lord always is, again, another very popular scriptural song. So we are called to be thankful and to praise God for our abundance. And why should we be thankful? Well, I mentioned that the Creed summarizes the reasons as we as Christians should be thankful. But also as a Canadian, I find that most international stories these days reinforce my thankfulness that I was born in Canada and currently live in Calgary. As we hear the threat of unrest in Northern Ireland when Britain leaves the EU, the uncertainty in Hong Kong of how the mainland government is going to react to the protest movements, the potential slaughter of Kurds in northern Syria, and potential release of ISIS prisoners are all difficult situations we're hearing about day by day these days. But to be honest, our nation Canada is not immune to serious social issues. We have homelessness, injustice, there's income disparities, and there's racial prejudice. Results of our elections, and at least we get to elect our people, will bring hope to some, but it will bring fear to others. But regardless of the election results, we can know that in Canada, that our national acknowledgement of these issues and their reality and efforts by many from all parties to resolve them, give us encouragement that we may avoid the violence that these issues have led to in other lands. As Canadians, we all live in an abundant lifestyle, and we live in one of the most prosperous countries in the world. So just as an aside, returning to our readings, I'm not sure if you noticed, but the very first line says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Well, when I first saw that, I was wondering what they were referring to, so I did some further looking. And previous to this section of the gospel, we find out that the they were part of the 5,000 who had been on that other side of the lake that had been fed by Jesus. They had witnessed the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. They had been amazed by this miracle, and the gospel had told us they wanted to make Jesus king. However, he had decided he needed to get out of there, so he withdrew to a place to be by himself. And then just prior to the reading we heard, Jesus had walked across the water to join his disciples who'd left in a boat and had quieted the storm. So the crowd that had been at the feeding had recognized that Jesus did not go with his disciples when they left in a boat. And so they asked the question, well, when did you get here? Or they were really saying, how did you get here? In the dialogue that follows, it became clear that the crowds wanted to see Jesus perform more miracles. They wanted him to tell them, what do we do in order to receive the bread from heaven? Well, Jesus says, come and believe. But that seems to be an obstacle for the crowd. Like many of us, Jesus is telling them to focus on spiritual needs and spiritual health. But the dialogue suggests that his listeners, like most of us, are more concerned about our material needs and our physical health. So near the end of the reading, Jesus makes one of his famous I am statements. He says, I am the bread of life, which is also the title of a familiar praise song that we've sung at times in this church. That song says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall not thirst. He's saying, come, believe. And the verses go on to say, the bread that I give is my flesh for the life of the world. And if you eat of this bread, you shall live forever. And unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life within you. Do we really believe those words from Jesus? Are we thankful for what God has done for us? Well, coming together and celebrating the Eucharist fulfills Jesus' commandment, do this in remembrance of me. This is how we come and believe. This is how we celebrate and show our thankfulness for what Jesus did by dying on the cross for the sins of the whole world. During my sermon preparations, I found the following story. In 1636, amid the darkness of the 30 Years' War in Germany, a pastor, Martin Rinkert, is said to have buried 5,000 of his parishioners in 1 year. That's an average of 15 a day. His parish was ravaged by war, death, and economic disaster. But in the midst of that darkness, with cries of fear outside his window, he sat down and wrote a table grace for his children, which has become the words of a hymn that we're going to sing at our offertory. That hymn says, now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things have done and whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has led us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Here was a man who knew thanksgiving comes from love of God and is not based on outward circumstances. Well, on the lighter side, there's another story about being thankful in all circumstances. In Budapest, there was a story about a man who went to a rabbi and complains, life is unbearable. There's 9 of us living in one room. What can I do? So the rabbi answers, well, take your goat into the room with you. The man is incredulous, but the rabbi insists, do as I say and come back in a week. So a week later, the man comes back looking more distraught than ever. He says, we cannot stand it. That goat is filthy. So the rabbi says, okay, go home, let the goat out, and come back in a week. So in a week later, the man comes back and he's radiant and he's all excited and he says, oh, life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now that there's no goat. There's only 9 of us. So life is beautiful. It can be beautiful. We need to learn to enjoy every minute of it. So on this Thanksgiving weekend, I'd like to close my homily with a small prayer that I read that was written by Samuel Pugh. Let us pray. O God, when I have food, help me to remember the hungry. When I have work, help me to remember the jobless. When I have a home, help me to remember those who have no home at all. When I am without pain, help me to remember those who suffer. And remembering me to help me destroy my complacency, bestir my compassion, and be concerned enough to help by word and deed those who cry out for what we take for granted. Amen.